I'm Harold Fisher. This Sunday, October 11th, is National Coming Out Day. It's a day when members of the LGBTQ community tell friends and loved ones that they are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer, or questioning. Well, tonight, we're going to hear stories about coming out and what it means for those who have and for their loved ones. My guests are Cassie Morris, co-founder and director of the LGBTQ Dignity Project in Prince George's County, and D.C. hairstylist James Edwards. Now, this is a pre-recorded program tonight. As a result, we will not take phone calls. However, you are still invited to tweet me at H. Fisher, W-H-U-R, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Cassie and James, thank you both for joining the program. I appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Cassie, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me on. Crystal Oreza, who is also one of the co-founder of the organization, will also be.
That's right. We're going to be talking to her later on in the program. I want to first start with you, Cassie. What does National Coming Out Day mean for the community, and more specifically for you?
Okay, for me, National Coming Out Day is really important because it's a day when us as members of the LGBTQ plus community, you know, have an opportunity to celebrate the beauty of who we are as a community while being out there, showing the love, you know, and growing up in a society like Jamaica where coming out was very hard, it's amazing to know that I'm in a space today where I can celebrate this day with friends, allies, and loved ones in Prince George's County.
That's interesting. How long have you been in the United States and specifically Prince George's County?
I've been in the United States almost 15 years. I've been in Prince George's County a little over 5 years.
So, growing up, and I'm assuming you grew up in Jamaica. Now, you were born there,
yes.
But so you grew up in Jamaica. When did you come out, and what was that like specifically for your Jamaican friends and family? That had to be difficult.
Yes, it was a very hard experience coming out. So when I was 15, I came out. That's when I was in high school in Jamaica. And when I came out, it was my mother would send me to the church so the pastor could pray for me, to pray away me being a lesbian. And, you know, I got a lot of discrimination from the community and was even told that, you know, men would be like, oh, we're going to set you straight by means of, okay, we're going to have sex with you, rough sex, so we set you straight so you understand what you're missing. And then, you know, my father, at one point, he told me that he'd rather see my grave than see me because of me being a lesbian. And it was very hard, but I always stand firm to be true to myself and to be true to who I am. I didn't understand what was happening to me when I first realized I had feelings for a female, because growing up in an environment like Jamaica, you know that homophobia is very strong there. So, you know, you can hear it in the music. You can hear it from the politicians. You hear it just walking down the street. You hear all these, you know, homophobic remarks. So the first time, you know, I was like, what's happening to me? I honestly thought something was seriously wrong with me when I had feelings. And then, you know, I was watching a movie, and I realized that, you know, I saw two people of the same sex actually being in a relationship. I couldn't do it no more. I didn't have no desire to have a boyfriend at 15. You know, most girls want to have a boyfriend. I didn't have no desire for that. I always, you know, want to be around females, and that's where my emotions were leaning towards. So coming out for me in Jamaica, it was rough, but, you know, as time goes on, my sister, she was very supportive, and then, you know, my brothers, they got on board after a while, but my parents, Well, I think my mother is to a good place now, and she is really supportive. I think my father is still, he's not saying the things that he was saying before, but based on some of his remarks, I know that he's still not supportive of me being a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. James, I want to hear your story. You are a D.C. native. Mm-hmm. You're 50 years old, and you also, you came out, but not as Cassie did, as a teenager. Talk to me about your story.
You know, I actually came out when, well, not really came out, I'm sorry. I was put out of the house. You know, when I was 15 and a half, 16 years old, you know, my mother had, my sister had found a letter that I was writing to a friend of mine about liking this guy. And I actually had girlfriends. So I am a bisexual male, you know. And when my sister found the letter, she gave it to my mother and things. And then my mother read it, asked me what this was. And, you know, and she was horrified, you know, and, one thing led to another, she put me out, you know. And growing up in the 80s on, you know, really like in the streets kind of, but not really in the streets. And it was, thank God for God and friends of mine from school, you know, that said, you know, James, come on, stay with us, you know, come over to my house. And my friend, DeMarcus, he wouldn't mind me saying his name, DeMarcus Williams, you know, who I'm still in contact with, his mom, you know, allowed me to stay with them, you know, and thank God for that because, you know, it allowed me to have support and not be in the streets, you know, and not fall victim to the streets back then in the 80s, you know, and I'm sure, you know, and a lot of people know that back then in the 80s, you know, it was gun violence, you know, street crimes, drug abuse, all that stuff. And, but it was only God and that support that allowed me to stay firm and continue to still live to this day, you know? Oh. It was very hard for me. You know, I remember, like I said, my mom put me out and then my dad, you know, when she told him that, you know, and he confronted me and stuff and he spit in my face, you know, and stuff. And all that was hard. But throughout all that, you know, I had I was able to develop a stronger relationship with my mother when she passed, before she passed. And today I have a stronger relationship with my dad. You know, and one of the things that my father and I, because of having therapy throughout my life and all these different types of what I was mentioning earlier, there's been different levels of coming out for me. You know, at that time, you know, it was hard to develop and understand who I was, what I was, you know, what I was to develop. I mean, what I wanted to show the world, you know, and how I wanted to show myself, you know, and things. I was out there doing, living my life. But as I got older, I wanted to embrace another world when it comes to working and being accepted, you know. And I still went into those hiding places, you know, because I still liked women, and but I liked men, you know. And I wasn't, I was never honest with myself, you know. I don't know, you know.
You know, that's, I think that's really transparent of you and honest, because whatever we go through in our lives, as from children to adulthood, there is always an evolution. We are always mm-hmm. evolving in the way that we see ourselves, no matter what it happens to do, whether it be our family, sexuality, our faith, our jobs, all kinds of things evolve. Was there a point in your life where there was this aha moment for you when you were able to look in the mirror and have a conversation with yourself not so much about whether or not people accepted you, but whether or not you accepted yourself. Was there a moment, and what was it like, if there was?
I find, like, you know, each and every day is it's that moment for me. You know, each and every day that I wake up, I have to, you know, like, you know, continue to pray and ask God for self-acceptance, you know, and then go out into the world and like acknowledge, this is who I am. If you don't like it, that's on you, you know, because of how I grew up and the time that I grew up, I always had to put on these faces and these images and this facade to prove to you that I'm man enough, I'm strong enough, I'm capable enough, you know. But with doing all that, not basically being true to myself, you know, and not acknowledging myself because I'm not being my authentic self, you know, I learned that when I'm basically putting on a face for everybody out in the world, I'm not being my authentic self. You know, so each and every day when I get up, you know, I have to, you know, continue to say, this is who I am. This is what I accept myself today, you know, and then present that into the world without altering it for the sake of wanting to please you in your eyes. Or wanting for you to accept me, you know? So I have to accept me because I find that, you know, all my life I've always wanted to be accepted, you know? And I think that's one of the things that that I continue to strive and ask God for and stand in my truth today when it comes to dealing with that. So each and every day is an aha moment. Each and every day, you know, I have to continuously accept me.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Cassie, talk to me about the event in the county that your organization is participating in Prince George.
Okay, so on we did an event in June for Pride Month, and then, you know, we know National Coming Out Day is coming up, and Prince George's County is one of those places where there's not really anything to do when you're a member of the LGBTQ+ community. So with National Coming Out Day coming up, Krista and I, the co-founders of the organization, you know, we're partnered with other community members, and we're doing an event, a National Coming Out Day motorcade and rally in New Carlton at 8511 Legation Road on Sunday, October 11th at 2 p.m. You know, this event is to celebrate the beauty of the LGBTQ+ community in Prince George's County.
Yeah, so that's right. It's the LGBTQ Dignity Project.
Yes.
And it's the first Prince George's County-wide National Coming Out Day Caravan, which is it's a big deal, and as you said, it's 8511 Legation Road. It's in New Carrollton. That's this coming Sunday, October 11th at 2 p.m. That's great. James, are you planning on participating on Sunday in any of the events that may be happening around the D.C. Metro?
I'm sorry, hello?
Yes. Are you planning on participating in any of the events on Sunday, or is that just going to be a day perhaps of reflection for you?
I actually, okay, I'm staying in my truth. You know,
go ahead. Stand in the truth, man. That's what this conversation is about.
Yeah, I'm not that type of person any longer that I have to participate in any events and things like that. You know, I commend any and everyone who have the courage to be able to come out. You know, and I think today there are so many different avenues, and God bless the different programs and things that are out here for young LGBTQ, for the community. You know, for me, I will not be participating. I don't participate in those organizations, the parades and things of that nature and stuff. For me personally, I feel like I don't have to. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm okay with who I am. I acknowledge who I am. I don't care about if anybody don't, you know, like who I am today.
Right.
You know, but I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, and honestly, it took a long time for me personally to be able to not only accept myself, but to accept everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, even in my own community, you know, because of the different layers that I had to uncover, you know, about me when I look at you.
Yeah. Well, James, I've got to take a break, and I know that we're going to lose you for the rest of the conversation, but I really appreciate you, as you said, standing in your truth and sharing your experience, and hopefully it'll be an inspiration to other men like yourself. I really appreciate your time. I really do. So thank you so much.
I need to take a break,
but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. And don't forget, you can hear this and every discussion via podcast on WHUR.com. It's posted before 9 o'clock every night. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141, The Original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back. I'm Harold Fisher. We're continuing this conversation about National Coming Out Day. That's this coming Sunday, October 11th. Cassie Morris, who is the co-founder and director of the LGBTQ Dignity Project in Prince George's County, is still with us. Joining us now, Crystal Orieta is the co-founder and president of the LGBTQ Dignity Project in Prince George's County. Crystal, thanks for joining the conversation.
No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We've heard part of Cassie's story, and I do want to hear more because I have so many questions to ask her. But I want to hear your story. Share mm-hmm. with us your experience about coming out. How old were you? What was it like? Your thoughts.
Yeah, for me, my story is probably a little bit different in the sense that I came out in college. I am openly bisexual woman, so I've dated men and women. And I think I could speak generally for everyone in the LGBTQ community when I say that's scary, right? You never know how people are going to react. But I truly have been blessed with the most loving and supportive parents that I think anyone could hope and ask for. So even though I was fearful, that transition for me was really easy in the sense that they didn't treat me differently. They didn't take a moment to say that they need to, you know, learn to accept me, learn to love me, learn to be okay with it. It was just, that's all you have to say. And that, because I just remember being in tears. And when I said it, my mom said, "That's all you have to say?" And I said, "Yeah." And she just hugged me. And she said, "That's okay." And that was the relationship I had with my friends. I didn't lose anyone. And that's what I think some of my family, other family members, you know, were homophobic. But my immediate family were not. I remember my mom telling me, because one of my cousins had come out earlier, and they wouldn't allow her partner to come into the home, like one of my other family members. And when my mom didn't let her partner come into the house, they're like, "How could you let that in your house?" They're like, "Well, I love my niece, and she's welcome in our home and welcome to bring anyone in." And so when I came out, I just remember my mom telling them that you cannot treat my daughter the way that you tried to treat everyone else, that she wasn't going to stand for it. And I think that's why I'm the woman I am today and the activist and advocate I am today, because I learned how to be that for my mom.
Why did you come out?
Because I felt like there was this lie, right? Sitting there, like I wasn't allowing everyone to know who I am. And I think not saying that is for me at least, like agreeing in some way that there's something wrong with me and I needed to keep it a secret. Because I feel so firm about don't say things unless you feel shame about them. And I didn't want that to be something I felt shame about. Anything I'm not willing to say out loud and say proudly, always ask myself to reflect on why that is. And there must be something wrong with my belief system or what I'm thinking if I'm scared for people to know that. And so it was important to me that I didn't let my sexual orientation be in that box of something that I was saying, even in my own head internally, that there's something wrong with it.
Cassie, you are, as you said, you've been in the United States for about 15 years. And Yes. You did share with us the heartbreaking experiences. That's the only way that I can describe what you've already shared of how you were shunned and treated when you were in Jamaica. But being here in the United States, have you found it easier or more difficult to live, or as you say, stand in your truth about your sexual orientation?
So, while in some instances, I would say it can be easier, but moving to a country like America, that, you know, growing up in Jamaica, it's this positivity, this first world country, this, you know, the most powerful country. I was a little bit disappointed to know that even today I still have to fight for existence in certain places, you know, because I am an open lesbian. I am a so, you know, in some spaces I would see where people will treat me a little bit differently than they would treat Crystal until they realize that we are together because of how I present myself. So, and, you know, it's just, especially when you see what's going on with the Supreme Court, where they are trying to roll back marriage equality. So, you know, it's a little bit disheartening to know that I sometimes feel the same way. And I feel like, especially with the transgender, the black transgender community in this country, I feel like they are being treated the way I was treated when I was back home in Jamaica. Because I think they are the most vulnerable in society when it comes to, especially the LGBTQ+ community.
For those who are listening and have questions, who may be completely unfamiliar with the LGBTQ community, and there are a great many people who are. Can you, you know, for, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, even transgender, those terms aren't really unfamiliar. But talk to me, Crystal, about what, you know, queer or questioning means. Or queer and questioning means?
Yeah, and that's such an interesting question that you ask. But I think even in the LGBTQ community and members that represent one of those letters, that sometimes we each identify those differently or don't know the answer. I interestingly enough, had this whole conversation about queer and trying to understand what that meant to different individuals. And one of my non-binary friends, we had this conversation because they identify sometimes as queer. And I think queer is a more fluid terminology that has been birthed, I think, in a younger generation and added to, I guess, the letters that we have. And I think it's one of the ones that is not defined as easy as bisexual or lesbian or gay. And I think it's meant to be. I think it allows space for people to identify their own journey when they use the word queer, not to be put into a box of what they might think is a box of being identified as lesbian or being identified as bisexual. And then similar with questioning, right? Like you might use that terminology if you feel like you're on the spectrum and you're fluid in the way that you present yourself in your dress, fluid in the way that you view people and in a relationship setting. And I think that's what's so interesting with the new generation of people coming out, right, is finding different ways to identify themselves versus the way that we've been traditionally identifying. Because if you ask some older people, queer is not a good word, right?
Right.
It's using a derogatory term, but now it's a word used and taking back power to say, this is just how I identify myself in a fluid space, and these other letters didn't represent my experience. And so that's what I would say. If anyone identifies as queer, questioning, to have that conversation with them, because it could mean something different to them, and allow them to explain that, if they're willing, to you how they identify.
Did you see the interview with Andrew Gillum and his wife RJ on the Tamron Hall show?
I did not see that interview. I saw one with just him after the incident.
On the program?
Yes.
Because one of the things, and there were two, there was actually an interview with him and then his wife on that same program. And then there was more of a follow-up where he came out as a bisexual man.
Mm-hmm.
And she, of course, his long-term wife. For those who are not familiar with those kinds of marriages, do you have any thoughts about those who just have a great big question mark in their heads about, because the question is, okay, how does that work? Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think there's relationships are always whatever you want to define them to be. That's what my mom always told me. Don't get so stuck into what people tell you your relationship needs to look like. It's between you and that individual. But I think that there's always this bucket about bisexuality and what that looks like in monogamous relationships, because people tend to not understand them. Bisexuals are not usually liked in the LGBTQ community.
Why not?
They're seen as either they can't pick a side, or they're trying to straddle both worlds. And it's an interesting dynamic, right? It's like in a space where you're trying to allow people to identify, you know, how they feel, there's always oppression among the oppressed. I think that manifests itself in the LGBTQ community the same way it does in the Black community and immigrant communities as well, right? And I think that's why some people, especially Black men that are bisexual, don't identify as bisexual. If they're with a woman, they'll identify straight at that moment, because there's this fear of, if I say I'm openly bisexual, there's these assumptions that are going to come with it. You're going to assume that I can't be in a monogamous relationship. You're going to assume that I would cheat, that if we're together, I'm automatically going to be also sleeping with men, right? And that's why I've always been very open about being bisexual. And I could just say, oh, I'm a lesbian because I'm married to a woman, and I have been for the last, 6 years. But I think that it's important, because there's a stigma that if you're bisexual, you cannot be in a monogamous relationship. And I feel like that breaks down the stigma by being honest and living my truth, even though some people in the LGBTQ community want you to just pick. And I said, I'm not a lesbian because I'm with a woman now. I'm bisexual because I like both. I just happen to fall in love with a woman and marry one.
Interesting. We're having a conversation about National Coming Out Day, October 11th, this coming Sunday. This is a a particularly important conversation because there is an evolution that is happening within the broader community as it relates to how members of the LGBTQ community are viewed. Some would say they are more accepted. Some would say less, depending on where you are. This is a recorded program. We are not taking any phone calls tonight, but of course, you are always welcome to tweet me at hfisher, W-H-U-R, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Cassie, why did, first of all, how did you two get together as activists? And why did you form this organization in Prince George's County?
So, to be totally transparent here,
Well, that if we haven't been transparent already, why are we talking? So go help yourself. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Crystal is my wife of 7 years. She left 1 year off.
Oh, okay. I'm not getting in between you all about that. I'm going to let you all that's going to be a conversation at the dinner table tonight. Why did you did you forget the 1 year, or are you going to make it to 7 or 8 years? Who's going to sleep on the sofa tonight? That's right, what I need.
All right, and this is another reason for the straight community to understand that we have the same issues in our
Oh boy. So, Crystal, you've messed up.
Look, I take on that role of forgetting the anniversary date.
Yeah, so
who's cooking tonight? Who's taking who out to dinner? Who's paying for dinner tonight? That's what I need
to know.
So go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm messing with both of you. Okay, so Cassie.
That's real, right?
I know. It is.
Yeah, so we, Crystal has been an activist all her life since I've met her. Back in Jamaica, I was a part of the Jamaica AIDS Support. I used to volunteer with them, which was the only organization that actually provide resources for people of the LGBTQ plus community. So that's how I started with activism. And then when I met Crystal in Texas, I latched on to some of the activist stuff that she's doing around, at the time she was working as the LGBTQ liaison for the Obama campaign down in Houston, Texas, and I was helping her with that and stuff. And then a few years later, we moved to Maryland. And honestly, I thought moving to the DMV area, it would be more beautiful in a sense of the beauty of the, especially the LGBTQ plus community and the Black LGBTQ plus community would be more accepted. And then once we finally settled in Prince George's County, we realized that, you know what, this is a county that prides itself on the most affluent, of being the most affluent African-American community in the world, but the LGBTQ plus community is forgotten here. And then there was 2 murders of transgender women right here in Prince George's County, and it didn't really get any play. It was like, okay, you know, it happened, and they had a press conference. So we decided, you know, we've been talking for a while that we want to form an organization that focuses on the beauty of the LGBTQ plus community, because there's a lot of organizations all over the place that focuses on just HIV and AIDS testing, mm-hmm. like that. You know, that's what LGBTQ plus community is about, and there's nothing in Prince George's County. Everyone goes to D.C. or Baltimore or someplace else to actually feel accepted. I still does not feel 100% accepted in Prince George's County as a member of the LGBTQ plus community. So we formed this organization, the LGBTQ Dignity Project, and we've been active now for like 1 year and 3 months. And we have been, you know, reaching out. And one of our supporters, I must mention this, because while I'm, you know, going on about not getting not, the support not being there for the LGBTQ plus community, the state's attorney, Aisha Braveboy, she has been a big supporter of our organization. And actually, when we're doing drives for the homeless LGBTQ youth or, for example, our events in June, she came out, she was there. She's not there for the camera. She's not there for the show. She genuinely shows that she cares. She actually formed an LGBTQ plus task force in our office.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she actually invited us to bring our ideas to see how she can connect more with the LGBTQ plus community here in Prince George's County.
As a matter of fact, I think it was earlier this week or maybe last week, County State's Attorney Aisha Braveboy was talking about protecting the vote for members of the LGBTQ community and other outside yes. of your community from voter intimidation and harassment. And during that press conference, she was quite vocal about that. And so certainly we salute her for being completely inclusive for the entire community. Crystal, mm-hmm. for young people who may be struggling with coming out to, you know, parents, guardians, or friends, and in particular, let's stick with parents, because I think there's a saying that, you know, your parents always know. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't believe that they do. If you are a teenager under the age of 18 and you want to come out to your parents, what is the best advice that you can give to have that conversation if you believe that your parents may not approve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a hard one. I would say first, really like sit down and meditate with yourself about the possibilities, right? I think it's really important preparing yourself mentally. You can never be prepared, I think, 100% for any type of rejection. But I think any way you can just help to mentally prepare yourself for the different possibilities of what this could look like, I think that's the most important thing. Like, start to research organizations, right, that deal specifically with LGBTQ youth. If doing like a private chat group. I know, like, for example, the library service in Prince George's County does stuff specifically for LGBTQ youth. So I think figuring out and talking to other people that have gone through the same experience is important, just to prep yourself for that conversation. And then I think making sure that you create a space where it's just you and them to sit down and have a very open conversation and dialogue. And then create space for, it's hard to hear, like, what their reaction might be. And I say this because I've been blessed to have my parents have a good reaction. But I've seen, like Cassie shared, parents that, you know, it takes time, or maybe their first reaction wasn't good and they just needed a second to digest it. So allowing space for that, because I know it's going to hurt if what you hear is not what you expected. But creating space for them to come back, you know, creating space for them to understand that you're their child and that there's nothing wrong with you, and that and not to hold that anger or shame if the response isn't what you want it to be. To know that it's not your fault and that you're beautiful and you're perfect, and it's their loss if they don't want to have a relationship with you. I think that's the best advice that I could give. I just know that journey is just so hard and so personal, and it looks so different for everybody.
Cassie, do you have any advice?
Just to follow up on what Crystal is saying, I do agree, you know, just know that it may not be the outcome that you want, but at the end of the day, the most beautiful thing is to live your authentic self. When I came out, I was saying it was at a young age, I was 16, but I felt so free. You know, even though I wasn't accepted, so I would say, you know, just free yourself, you know, and as Crystal mentioned, look for organizations like ours, the Dignity Project, that will be there for you to help you, you know, if you need resources, if you need something. Because one of the most hurtful things is to live in a world that you're not being your true, authentic self.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would say in these last few minutes also that as a heterosexual man who grew up in a family that was not receptive, and mm-hmm. then getting into college and taking the time to listen to members of the community, individuals, and to be as open-minded as you can really, it did for me, really had me understand that these are just people of a sexual gender that's or life that's different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still people. They are human beings. They are just as good and just as bad and just mm-hmm. as fun and as sad and as happy and faith-filled or not as people who are straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's really important for those who are questioning, you know, members of the LGBTQ community to at least listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is really the only way that there is going to be true understanding and by extension acceptance. And that is the thing that really helped me, because in the decades since I had that first conversation, I've had two people come out to me who mm-hmm. were really struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them dearly, and they are great friends and wonderful mm-hmm. people. And if I had not listened decades ago and not evolved in my thinking,
mm-hmm.
it would not have happened.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It would not have happened. Yeah. I'm out of time, but I wanted to quickly remind our listeners about the event. It's coming up on Sunday. It's the LGBTQ Dignity Project. It's hosting the first Prince George's Countywide National Coming Out Day Caravan. It's at 8511 Legation Road in New Carrollton, Maryland. Of course, that's Sunday, National Coming Out Day. It's going to be at 2 o'clock. You're going to see Crystal out there. You're going to see Cassie out there. You'll probably see Cassie giving Crystal the side eye, because how long have you two been married, Crystal?
7.
So there you go.
You got it. There you go. You got it.
Yes, indeed. No side eyes, Cassie.
No dinner tonight. That's what it's going to be.
No, she's going to take you someplace where you can have a nice steak, socially distant, or lobster or whatever.
She needs to make some Jamaican food tonight.
How about that? How about that? I want to thank you all. First of all, I want to thank James Edwards for talking to us. Also, Crystal Orieta and Cassie Morris, thank you for the work that you're doing in the community, and many, many more years of wedded bliss to both of you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much for having us.
That is the Daily Drum for this Friday, October 9th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Bramante Bryant and Millette Green, producer Candace Atkins and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.